Stephen, thanks for joining us. Neither Wolf Nor Dog opens at the Little Art Theater in Yellow Springs on July 24th. Tell us what was behind your effort to get behind this movie and put it on film.
Yeah, I mean, the story basically revolves around a white author, Kent Nerburn, that's actually based on the author himself of the book, who gets a call out of the blue from the granddaughter of a Lakota elder asking him to come visit him, and basically gives him this proposition of distilling his life down into the form of a book. And after a few false starts, essentially the psychic of the author destroys all the notes that were going to be the basis of it, and they decide, instead of creating the sanitized version of Native life, as is often the way in terms of how some of the historical texts have been written, they instead suck him into this road trip through the heart of the elder's world, so that he sees the entire experience, sort of warts and all, and sees his perspective firsthand, but in very much challenging him and his own perceptions along the way. You know, Dave Bald Eagle was of an era he just passed at 97. They're more or less all gone, these elders from this generation. And it's not even just about, you know, the age of somebody. It's really how and when they grew up. I mean, Dave was brought up around people who were, you know, as they would say, born free. I mean, his grandfather was at the Little Bighorn and still grew up around all those traditional ways, that have pretty much all, for the most part, you know, died out in terms of, you know, that sort of direct line. And so, you know, it was very much about, you know, here's the last sort of chance to document, you know, a lot of that perspective, as, you know, that sort of the form the novel took. But the film takes that and almost takes it to a different level, using the different medium, in the sense that when we're at Wounded Knee, you know, I abandoned what was in the novel and in the script and had Dave improvise the entire sequence, because we had the privilege of having the real thing there, and where he took us through that sequence was more powerful than anything that Kent Nerburn or, you know, that I myself could write. And it ended up in this sort of incredibly moving and powerful sequence. And so, you know, the film in itself almost steps away from being a narrative into almost documentary at that point. And, you know, it is an incredible privilege to bring that to an audience, because I know, you know, at the end of filming that, Dave turned to Christopher Sweeney, who played Nerburn, and said, you know, I've been holding this in for 95 years. And, you know, he's speaking in a sense, you know, for an entire generation that you know, all still had the same, you know, resonance through their lives of, you know, the echo of Wounded Knee and boarding schools and all these other things.
The film has a very rich look, but this was financed by donors, by audience members that know your work, and it was filmed in a very short time. Is that correct?
It is, yes. I mean, it is one of those things. It's a micro-budget film. It was crowdfunding through Kickstarter that made it all possible. And, you know, I had a crew of two, and we filmed it incredibly quickly. And but at the same time, you know, I never think that that's a reason for, you know, sloppiness in filmmaking. A lot of independent films all look the same, you know, handheld and no attention to detail. Whereas, you know, I mean, the great thing about shooting in the Great Plains, you can point the camera anywhere and you've got a beautiful shot if you, you know, just no, you know, basic composition. And so, you know, the film has a really lush feel because the landscapes, but also the characters themselves, I mean, they, you know, were so rich in themselves. And, you know, Dave Bald Eagle in particular was just remarkable to film and to light. And, you know, so that just elevates the whole experience of the film, I think, and as a visual piece.
Tell us a little bit more about Dave Bald Eagle. He passed away just this year, correct, at 97?
Well, it's actually on Saturday. Well, this weekend, it's going to be a year since his passing. And, yeah, I mean, he was just as unique an individual as you could ever imagine. You know, his life experience, you know, was more elaborate than that of pretty much any character you've ever seen on film. I mean, from being left for dead on D-Day to being a rodeo rider and race car driver to having this extraordinary extended family. And, you know, that all you know, inhabits him on screen. There's a richness to his entire presence. I think it's, you know, truly one of those characters that when people, you know, after they've seen this film, they literally never will ever forget him. He's that memorable. I mean, he was 95 when we filmed, and it was his, you know, debut starring performance. He'd had some smaller roles in films over the years, but, you know, nothing to match this scale. And, you know, that just showed his fearlessness taking on a role like this.
As I've mentioned, it looks like a very lovely and a rich, beautifully shot film. What has the reaction been when, kind of in this age when the box office is ruled right now by superheroes, and this is kind of a different character, a different hero?
Well, you know, it's truly remarkable. You know, this is, as I say, a very small film in how it was made, and, you know, the industry doesn't really pay attention to that sort of thing. So I started releasing it myself, and have been slowly working it around the country, and it's been quite a phenomenon. In the states that we've been in, we've been playing a higher proportion of screens than many of the much bigger independent films. You know, in one town in Washington State, we were the second best performing film of their year and beat 11 of the 12 blockbusters playing down the road. You know, just recently we've been in multiplexes, literally in the next theater to Spider-Man and all these sorts of things. And that's, you know, pretty much unheard of, even just with an independent film in general, for something being self-distributed to get this sort of reaction. And it's remarkable because, as you say, it's a 95-year-old star, and it's a very, you know, slow, meaningfully paced film. But there's one thing that Hollywood, with all their millions, cannot buy, and that is heart. And that's what this film has more than anything. Dave Bald Eagle puts his spirit on screen, and that's what's having such a deep impact with the audience. I mean, our Rotten Tomatoes score with the audience is 4.8 out of 5, and find any of the blockbusters out there at the moment that's, you know, getting that response from the audience. I mean, it's been touching them in a profound way. Constantly hearing of, you know, in multiplexes in Midwest, applause at the end of the film and people being rooted to their seats long after the lights come up. And, you know, it's just remarkable. And, you know, I'd like to take credit for some of it, but at the end of the day, I know it's because, you know, Dave Bald Eagle and the rest of the cast is remarkable, but Dave Bald Eagle touches them in this very, very special way.
We've been speaking with Scottish film director Stephen Lewis Simpson about his film adaptation of the acclaimed best-selling novel Neither Wolf Nor Dog. It opens at the Little Art Theater on July 24th. Stephen, thanks so much for your time. And just briefly, can you tell us what's next for you?
Well, I mean, basically, I've not had a day off since November with the distribution, and that's going to at least fill up this year. And then, you know, from then on, it's just, you know, back to the drawing board and you know, hopefully shooting a movie in Europe early in the next year.
Great. Good luck with this film, and we're really looking forward to seeing it here in Yellow Springs. Again, thanks for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.